Advancements in technology, shifting markets, and the gig economy are changing the nature of work. With this in mind, Harvard Business School Executive Education is launching a new program on managing the future of work. Based on the latest research into the forces reshaping workforce demographics, this program is designed to help employers remain competitive by thinking strategically about today's evolving business landscape. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/future. That's hbs.me/future.
You're now experiencing the AJ Nashville Podcast. Real people, real problems, real success stories.
Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com. Today is Monday, the 30th, the end of the month, a hectic day for most mortgage people in the industry, most real estate people, trying to cram out everything in May. This way you can get... Hold on, it's April. Why does my watch say May? Anyways, try to get everything crammed out in April. This way we can get up and running for May. So, hectic day, but I owe you guys, my viewers, my listeners, I owe you the podcast that I commit to doing every week. This past weekend, I had a great time, went out to East Tennessee. The Tennessee Tundra Crew takeover occurred out there. It was awesome. About 300 different style trucks. Everyone got together, had a great time. The one great thing about this event that takes place is it's really a time to get together with friends that you haven't seen for about a year or friends that you see a couple times a year when you're at truck shows. Realistically, it's nothing but a bunch of guys and girls kind of living their fantasy, you know, out there looking at some nice trucks, figuring out what their next modifications are going to be, figuring out the next things that they're going to do. It's great because it always refreshes my memory on the things I still want to do to my truck, which in turn depletes the bank accounts. But it's all in fun, right? So anyways, I'm obviously not doing this podcast today about the Tennessee Tundra takeover. Even though it was an incredible time, I give a shout out to everybody that took the time to put that together. What we're going to talk about today is going to be the way people conduct themselves in business. And what I mean by that is the way that people approach business now as opposed to business several years ago. Before the big market jump and before everybody was doing well in the industry. I mean, literally everybody. Like I said in prior podcasts, you sit on the same park bench every single day. Eventually, you would get shit on by a bird. And I say that and I repeat that because it's truly how some people in this industry are surviving right now. The thing that brought this up is I was looking at my lead spend, how much money I spend doing advertisements and things like that, and how many leads are generated from that. And then I look at, okay, out of those leads, how many of them have turned into deals? And out of those deals, how many of them are coming from the same people as opposed to different people? See, when you look at those numbers, you see a pattern. You see the pattern of the people that work the deals that you know are working the deals and the people that aren't. And the way you can tell that difference is when you cut one person off and they don't receive leads for weeks on end, but yet they never ask you about it. They never missed it until they see somebody else that popped up and suddenly they got a lead and they're doing well and they got a deal out of it. And now they're closing a loan and you say something about it and you get those several people that respond and say, hey, I haven't gotten a lead in a couple weeks. I don't know what was going on. And my response is typically, so you went from 8 to 10 leads a week to 0 for several weeks and you didn't notice that before today. That's odd. So we talk about business and the way it used to be. See, it used to be you had to work your ass off. You'd go out there, you know, the old philosophy, you hand a business card to every person that you meet. You let everybody and their mom know that you're a real estate agent. You lick envelopes all day. You send out postcards. You knock on doors. You do all kinds of things to get the business that you need to get to survive. Now, for those of you that are listening, this isn't just a real estate slash mortgage podcast. This can be universal in just about any field. It doesn't matter if you're the guy at Discount Tires that's rotating tires and that's your day-to-day business, if you're the man or woman that is developing properties, or if you're a real estate or mortgage professional. This applies to all areas. The work that we used to do compared to the work that we do. See, back in my older days as a mortgage person, I used to have to dial several hundred people per day in order to put enough deals together to barely scrape by. There just wasn't an abundance of deals there, so I had to work harder. I had to work towards the times. Back then, it was everybody refinancing. Rates were dropping. People wanted to refi. You'd get in there. You'd get them taken care of. But you were still only closing a few or a couple or several deals a month. But you worked. And I mean truly worked hard to get those deals. Now, it's still the same to some degree. You have to do the work to get the deals. But what I look at is the numbers then compared to the numbers now. See, we're in a saturated market where everybody wants to become a mortgage professional or everybody wants to become a real estate agent. So we're in a heavily saturated market of people seeing this industry as a quick money opportunity. The truth of it is, once it comes down to the brass tacks, it's not easy. See, some people get in the industry and they immediately drop out because they didn't realize that you don't just sit there idly on your phone playing Candy Crush, beating off and closing deals. It's just not how things work. Now, you look at the people that are closing a couple deals a month or one deal every few months, and you stop and you look at it and say, you know what? This is in a time where business is great. So what's going to happen when business slows down? Well, the natural thing will happen. It'll squeeze people out of this industry. Here's the downside to that. Lazy habits now, when money is to be made, is not a good thing to have. If you're lazy now, when money is, it's out there, it's on the table, you can make it. You just have to work your freaking ass off and you can make the money. That's all it takes. It takes somebody being different to make the money in a saturated area. I'll give you a prime example. You go to a couple different car dealerships, each person, well, nowadays, people don't even walk out of the fucking office. But back when they used to, if they walk out and it's the same spiel with every single place, and then you go to a car dealership and you have a person truly interested in what you're wanting, truly interested in pursuing and satisfying your needs with whatever vehicle you're looking for, you're more than likely going to buy from that person because there's a rapport that was built there. You appreciate and respect that person. They tried. They worked. They did what they had to do. They were different. Right now, we have hundreds of agents, both mortgage and real estate, that are in a sea of what I call blue hats. A bunch of people that look the same. Nobody stands out. Nobody's different. Nobody does anything different. Everybody does the same fucking thing. It's the lowest rates, lowest payments, lowest this, lowest that, and that's it. Then you have your superstars. Those are your people that are wearing the bright colored hats, the yellow hats, in a sea of blue. Those are the people that stand out. Those are the people that in 4 to 5 years, when the market turns and slows, they will still be in business. Why? Because they created the work ethic and work habit that it takes in order to continue to be successful, because they know that the one day that they're sitting there with nothing to do, they can reach back in their database and talk to those previous clients and hopefully build relationships and bring in new clients. That's the whole reason why we do this. You don't work every single day of your life as a mortgage loan officer to pick up the phone and make $100 a day in order to get a deal. You want to eventually get to the point where you can relax a little bit and have business, in a sense, walking into your front door. The biggest thing about building relationships with people is talking to them as a human being, remembering little things like, hey, you wanted to get this extra cash out because your son was going off to college. And I know you got a daughter right behind your son getting ready to head off to college. Do you want a little bit more? This way you're prepared when she gets there too. Let's do this once and not do this twice. That's truly satisfying in taking care of the client's needs. When you put a client in a situation where, oh, you want cash out? Yeah, no problem. Here, my rate's 4%. Here's the cash you need. Sign here. That's not actually servicing the client. That's not serving their needs. You know, back to the car analogy. You got a person that, hey, I love going off-road. I want a vehicle that'll get me there. I go and tear up and do this and do that. So you give them some rigid vehicle that does well off-road. But you never take into account that this is that person's only vehicle. And although a small percentage of their time is going to be off-road, that maybe a large percentage of it is going to be spent on the road with their family. And so instead of taking the time to understand their needs and selling them the appropriate vehicle, you just gave them what they asked for. That's the difference between people that used to sell today or used to sell in years prior and people that sell today. That's the difference between an order taker and a matchmaker. Your order taker does exactly what it is you tell them. I want the lowest rate. No problem, boss. I'll find it. I want the lowest payment. No problem, boss. I got you. I want to refinance. No problem. I got you. That's not a great way to live, nor is it a great way to service your client. Your matchmakers say, oh, you want the lowest payment? No problem. Let me find this program that's going to work for you. Oh, you want the lowest interest rate? Okay, I understand that, but the lowest interest rate doesn't necessarily mean the lowest payment. Because in most cases, the lowest interest rate's on an FHA loan, which requires mortgage insurance, but a conventional loan may be one you qualify with. And even though the rate's higher, the payment's going to be lower because you're not wasting your money on mortgage insurance. Or, hey, you need a water heater installed in your house? No problem. How many people are going to be using this water heater? You had a 40-gallon and complained about the last person taking a shower running out of warm water. How about this time around you spend an extra 100, 200 bucks and go with a 60-gallon and everybody gets to take hot showers? Those of you that are listening, you have to ask yourself, would you make that decision? Now, those of you that are listening that said, yes, I would get the 60-gallon water heater so everybody could take hot showers, ask yourself this. Would you have considered it had it not been suggested to you? The answer to the most that are listening to that is going to be no. See, we as people always try to find the quick way out, quick way to get things done, quickest way to the close, no matter what it is in life. Why do you think there's so many fab diets that pop up, gain a bunch of momentum, and then gone? The Atkins diet, I remember them when that was popping. Everybody, oh, I'm not eating carbs. I'm sorry, you want to be fucking miserable your whole life, not eat carbs. Then that turned into the keto diet. Fuck, half my friends turned into MLM freaks. Get your keto, get it over here. There's no shortcut to being healthy, working out, and being fit. All these people that you see with ripped six-pack abs, guess what? They don't do six-minute abs and suddenly get them one day. They've worked their ass off day after day, eating healthy, eating right, doing the right exercises, and constantly pushing themselves. So as much as people want to find the quick result, it's not always the way that you're going to get the best results. See, everybody wants the magical lead system. This falls back into the lead campaigns that I was talking about earlier. You know, the ones where you make the one phone call and they say, yes, I'm ready to buy right now. Thank God you called me because I didn't know the numbers of any other real estate agent out there. And thank goodness you called me because if it wasn't for you calling me, I would never, ever have thought of calling somebody else. By God, if you find a fucking person like that, you better hold on to that person because they probably have 10 friends that are just as stupid as they are. It just doesn't happen. You pick up the phone, you call a lead, they don't answer, you leave a message. Then you shoot them a text message. Then you call them again later. Why? Because if somebody were to call me right now to try to sell me something, I would not answer. Because right now my podcast has my undivided attention. And if they don't leave a message or send me a text message, I'll forget about them. It's just how things are. And I live like that. Lord knows every other American out there probably lives about the same way. Once we get into being a mortgage professional, real estate professional, or something like that, we forget that people out there have habits just like we used to before. They have to do shit like work. They have to do things like pick up their kids from school, make them dinner. So just because you made the one phone call to that lead and they didn't answer doesn't mean they didn't want to talk to you. It just could have meant that they were too busy to do so now. As a professional, I choose to surround myself with what I consider champions, both in business and out of business. Not all my friends own big, successful companies, but all my friends are friends for a particular reason. I don't just hang out with people anymore just to hang out. Hey, you're my buddy. Will you be my friend? I want to work and hang out with people that are like-minded. Because like-minded people get it when you say somebody was being lazy when they did something. You can criticize like-minded people because they don't take it as a negative thing. They take it as growth. I have several friends of mine that I would listen to just about anything they say if they were telling me on, giving me tips on how to grow my business. I would listen. Why? Because they've got a successful business. It makes sense, right? Let's not try to reinvent the wheel. You go into the doctor's office and the doctor says, hey, you broke both your legs. I need you to be in a wheelchair for a while. Are you going to say, yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I can get up and I can just start walking. And get up and start walking? The answer to that's no. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because he's a fucking doctor who knows what he's talking about. Same goes with business. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. If the thing works, works. Be innovative. Try to grow upon the foundation that works. But don't try and change it. You know the wheel, the tire, the round thing that you put on your car and it rolls it down the street? That thing has always been round once they figured out it worked. Now, other tire companies have went out there and did different tread, different sidewalls, different thickness, different everything. Why? Because they're trying to improve on the foundational things that actually work. It's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody, just like a tire's not. A person that's got a passenger vehicle that they just travel back and forth to work is not going to put a mud tire on their car. Just like a person that is heavy into the internet is not going to listen to somebody that's not and do the opposite things. But the foundational practices are similar. Every single one of them starts with hard work. Doesn't matter if you're in the core, Ryan Stueman's programs, Grant Cardone's programs, Marketing Animals program. It doesn't matter whose program you're in. It's all consistency. It's doing the things that you have to do consistently and doing them at a high level. You can't walk in the door and half-ass it for the day and say, hey, that'll get the job done. Imagine if that was the same in all facets of life. If people just went to work every day and just half-assed it and said, eh, that'll work. Be a very, very dangerous country to live in. The other thing is that you see as you continuously do things is you deflect some negative people. The people that may have brought you down, you start deflecting them. Why? Because you're working your ass off and they have no interest in hanging out with a person that's working their ass off. Just doesn't satisfy them. And that's okay. Let lazy people hang out with lazy people. Now, I'm not saying if you don't work 40 hours a day that you're a lazy person. But what I'm saying is when it's time to get in business and get shit done, if you're not willing to do what it takes in order to get the things that you need done, then yes, you're lazy. Face it. You know, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I was gone over the weekend. I've been gone quite a bit. Work things come up, things like that. And when I walk in the door, after I'm exhausted, I remember exactly why I do the things I do. I do the things I do because I want to be great at what I do. I don't want to be okay. I want to be the best. And being the best is simply working your ass off nonstop and surrounding yourself with like-minded people that will help you grow. If you are the smartest person in your room, you are in the wrong room. You've heard it before. It still stands true, and it still continues to be the case. There's no question about it. The fact of the matter is, you just need to get on whatever it is you do and do the best that you can. If you're self-employed, your income depends on it. If you work for somebody else, they are paying you and hired you because they assumed you were the best. You could just be one of those shitheads that interview well, and you had no intentions on being the best, but you're shortchanging yourself. The fact of the matter is, we're in a time right now where people are easily replaced, whether it be by robots or by somebody else. There's always a complaint, oh, there's no jobs out there. There's plenty of them, trust me, you just don't want to do half of them. But if you work hard and become the best at what you do, you're irreplaceable. I was watching something earlier, and it was talking about business owners and how they view people as hearts instead of seats, spots. And when you view people at that level, you have a harder time replacing them with some fancy technology that comes out. Be that person. Be the person that's irreplaceable, the smile that nobody forgets, the person that always has something great to say when they come to the office. Not the person that says, it's got a case of the Mondays today. It's Monday. I just spent the last 2 days with my thumb up my ass, but today's Monday. Guess what? The week's got to start sometime. Might as well call it Monday, right? Some of us don't get that opportunity. And as much as it sounds like I regret not getting that opportunity, I don't, because I get to reap some of the rewards that working a 7-day work week gets you. And that doesn't mean I work nonstop all the time, full throttle. But when it's time to get the job done, I get it done. Those of you that are listening, do the same thing. When you're at work, get it done. Be the person that stands out. Your coworkers don't like it, fuck them. Get in there and do what you have to do to be successful, to do the job that you were hired to do. Eventually, you will become the manager of those coworkers that didn't like it. Now who's laughing? Right? Anyways, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please do me a favor. If you're listening, if you enjoy the show, give me a like, subscribe, share this with somebody, share this with your team, share this with the mortgage person. I work on the abundance mentality, and those of you that follow me regularly, you know that. So many people reach out to me to ask for different advice about marketing and branding and things like that, and I'm an open door. I offer the advice I can give because it's just knowledge. Why not share it? So please, if somebody you know, if this applies to them, share it with them. I want to thank everybody so much for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic start of the week. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to the AJ Nashville Podcast. Episodes air Mondays at 6 and Fridays at 5. Thank you for your ongoing support. Please subscribe.
Today's sales leaders face a difficult task: selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new 3-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.